This episode is brought to you by Wrestling Resurgence. Use the promo code BROKEN15 to get 15% off Wrestling Resurgence merchandise and tickets for their upcoming shows. Links are in the description.
Yo, what's going on? It's your boy, Big Wavy Roy Johnson here.
Hello everyone, this is the Interview Queen, Alicia Two.
This is the infamous Cameron Solis.
This is the professional Nathan Cruz.
This is Veggie.
This is the Callahan Death Machine in the draw, and the face of Impact Wrestling, Sammy Callahan.
The one and only shot under Willie Mack.
This is Shreddy Breck, a.k.a. Mr. Clangin' and Bangin'.
And you're listening to...
You are listening to...
Broken But Glorious.
Broken But Glorious.
Broken But Glorious.
Hello and welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lappin and I'm delighted to be joined by the co-host of the ROH Review, three-time pro wrestling author, the Interview Machine, Mr. Free Podcast in One Night, the best ice chipper in the UK, Oliver Newman.
Oh man, nicknames don't get any better than that, do they? Hello everyone.
You well?
Yeah, tired, like you said, three podcasts in one night. So we got the... if you don't mind, got the ROH review reviewing Bound by Honor and Gateway to Honor, which will be out tomorrow, audio, video on Thursday. We've also recorded ROH review previewing the 18th year anniversary show and ROH past versus present, and that's coming out next Wednesday, Thursday, and then, like you said, joining the main show as well. So Mr. Three Podcasts in One Night.
And making his big BBG return, Grapple RK is Mark Fox.
Hello.
You well?
Yeah, not bad, man. How's tricks?
I'm very well, yeah.
Good.
Good to have you back, Mark.
Appreciate it. It's been a while, chaps. It's been a while, so hopefully...
Skype, it's been 2 months since I last spoke to you. So.
Yikes. Wow. Yeah. Probably around about, it'll be in December, won't it? I think, something like that. Anyway, I'm good. So, hoping to try and get back into the old grapple again. It's been a while, you know. I haven't watched a huge amount while there's just been a lot going on. So, dipping my toe back in and, you know, watching vignettes such as Hacksaw Jim Duggan kicking off with Yokozuna after he got attacked in 1993. You know, it's all go, man.
That's what we missed, Mark.
Well, of course, you know.
That's what we missed. That's what you bring to the show. For all our older listeners out there.
Indeed.
All right, so in a moment, Mark has a big announcement about our partnership with For Love of Wrestling. But first, they've got two massive guest announcements this week for Love of Wrestling 2 on the 18th and 19th of April at the Liverpool Exhibition Centre. So appearing on the Saturday only, we've got The Big Show.
Yeah, that's a beast of a shout. That, in fact, he was the final announcement. But I think the few carrots were being dangled to the attendees about who was going to be about turning up and whatnot, and who the announcement was going to be. So people were anticipating it was going to be The Big Show. There was a lot of people guessing it was him, and I think a few people were curveballed by the person announced just before The Big Show, which I'm sure you'll mention now.
Yes, appearing on Sunday only is Jeff Hardy.
Indeed it is. So because Jeff was announced as the second from last, I think a lot of people were like, oh, it might not be Big Show anymore. It might have been a red herring. It might be Matt. but, whilst it would be amazing personally to see Matt and Jeff, obviously it would be great to see them. And I think there's still going to be opportunities for that to happen. We'll see what happens, down the line. I'm really happy that The Big Show is going to be there because he's a megastar attraction. Not that Matt's not, but Big Show's, it's Big Show.
Yes.
He's still relevant, you know, he's still relevant. And he's been going since, well... I remember watching him in sort of
95, 96 he started, wasn't it? Yeah. Unfortunately, Jimmy Hart had to withdraw from the event. Sad. So.
It is indeed.
So he was a lot of fun last year. He joined in all the contests and stuff. So he was like a guest judge on lots of things. He was really fun.
Oh, he was great. He was fantastic. It is a shame that he's not going to be there. But I mean, as you say, it was great that everybody got to see him last year. for the people who attended. But yeah, we're cracking, you know, I mean, what an absolute star-studded event. I mean, I might as well mention the competition side of things now, actually.
Yes.
For anybody who's unaware, we're doing a competition with For the Love of Wrestling. And basically, you just need to get yourself over onto Twitter, at Grapple Arcade. Our pinned tweet on there explains everything that you need to do to enter said competition. Completely free to enter. But basically, we're giving away a pair of entry tickets for the full weekend, which normally retail at about 30 quid, I think it is, a pair, each even.
Yes.
Something like that. It's 60 quid's worth of entry tickets for the weekend. And that entitles you to not only, you know, see all the vendors, such as Grapple Arcade and all the other people that are going to be there putting bits and bobs on. There's also going to be a wrestling ring in the middle, where there was last year. Who knows what the stage setup's going to be this year. But the wrestlers who are in attendance go there and do an hour's roughly worth of Q&A, pretty much everybody who's going to be there. And you get to see all of that as part of your entry ticket, you know. So you get to take part in everything that's going on. Now, the other thing is with that, if you've already got your entry tickets and you win the competition, we will substitute your entry tickets that you've won from us for 30 quid's worth of autograph or photo tokens to take with whomever you wish. So, yeah, prizes to be won. It's great. You just need to go on to at Grapple Arcade on Twitter, and you just need to follow Grapple Arcade, follow For the Love of Wrestling, which is at FTLO Wrestling, and also follow our podcast, which is at BBGW Pod. Retweet the tweet and like it as well. And also comment underneath to let us know that you've entered, simply by letting us know which guest that's been announced you're looking forward to meeting the most. But yeah, man, what a star-studded event it is. Can't wait.
Oh, Shawn Michaels was announced 2 weeks ago. It was called Goldberg on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Oh, that's amazing.
It's incredible, absolutely incredible. I mean, you've got Demolition are going to be there, both of them. You've got Dudley Boys are going to be there. You've got Money Inc. are going to be there. You've got both IRS and Ted. It's just great. It's just a star-studded event with lots of cool tag teams, loads of opportunities to meet wrestlers as individuals. Like you meet, you know, Smash if you or you as part of Demolition, or you can meet Repo Man as Barry Darso. You know, there's loads of opportunities to meet people in whichever way you want, and they're all pretty much up for, you know, signing whatever memorability you've got, providing it's in good taste, obviously. But yeah, everybody's happy to be different gimmicks, even if, you know, you might get Smash one day with his face paint on. There might be an opportunity to get photos taken when he's dressed up as Repo Man as well. There's going to be lots of different opportunities there. It's going
to
be great.
That's what they seem to be implying on the Facebook page, that you can get photos of Repo Man. That's
going to be great. Absolutely great. And Nasty Boys as well, man. I forgot to mention the Nasty Boys. Tugboat's going to be there, but then you've got really interesting. Well, Steiner brothers are both going to be there as well. Kurt Angle's going to be there.
Tatanka's going to be there.
Kenny Omega's going to be there. As you know, well, it's a bit random. Medusa, Earl Hebner. There's so many.
Georgia Smith Hart got announced recently, and she's got to have all worn bulldog attire.
Yeah, I've seen some of the bits that she's got. I've seen some of her collection. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Looks amazing.
But yeah, Trish, you know, the list goes on as per usual. It's a mammoth list, and it's going to be very, very fun. We're going to be there for both days. So come along and play lots of wrestling computer games. Again, all entrants get to play everything for free. You know, everybody who's there can play all games. We don't charge or anything like that. We'll be announcing some competitions, tournaments on the day soon, what we're going to be doing and things like that. But we'll do that closer to the time. But yes. Twitter, at Grapple Arcades, pinned tweet, see more about the competition there.
Great. In other Hardy news, so Matt Hardy has announced that he's now a free agent. He hasn't ruled out a return to the WWE, but he has said that he hasn't renewed his contract due to creative differences. He wants to be more creative in his last couple of years, which he feels is very important for him because he's 45 now. And he just wants to do basically what he wants for the last couple of years of his career.
Bray Wyatt tweeted, "Please stay, Matt, today."
Yeah. Oh. You got any thoughts on Matt leaving, Oliver?
Yeah, it's one of those. I guess it kind of plays into what we'll say about AEW Revolution, so it's a nice segue. Maybe, just maybe, he's the exalted one in the dark.
I'm hoping he doesn't go straight to AEW. I hope he does a bit of indies. I hope he turns off in the AWA and does something weird. I hope he, before making his way around AEW. I love the whole Broken Universe stuff. So.
I was just going to say, I'm surprised that they haven't capitalized on it as much as they could have done. I think they've, like, well, let them. I think it was obviously the way that they did it was a little bit more. It wasn't as much as you'd want them to do in terms of the psychological Matt Hardy, the sort of weirdo. It was a little bit tame to the point where nothing really happened with it. And it just fizzled out quite quickly. And then obviously Bray's come along doing his Fiend thing. And it's kind of, all right, well, how much space have you got for split personality weirdo kind of, you know what I mean? It's not, you know, WWE kind of put all their eggs in one basket a lot of the time when it comes to character. And I just think that they could have done a lot more with Matt by letting him do a bit more what he wants to do. He didn't, I don't know, let him do stuff with Bray. Let them do a lot more together. Let them be, you know, part of whatever stable's clearly going to come out of what he's doing. I think so anyway, personally. I think that would have been great to have seen, but maybe it's time for
another. I think that ship sailed though, hasn't it, when they were tag team champions and stuff, and obviously feuding and what have you. And then with Chris saying, oh, you know, wanting to go on the indies and stuff, he was on the indies in between, like, leaving WWE, you know, with the Edge and Lita and Matt Hardy stuff, and you know, and then he signed back before being on the first 1PW show. I don't really remember Fondy's independent run in like Ring of Honor, for example. So,
I'd like to see him do a season with NWA, maybe, like, because he could be a legitimate world champion threat, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He could be, and the seasons are only sort of 10 episodes long ish.
And I think they need something. They could fit something quite weird into NWA because it is quite straight at the moment.
They could do with a character.
The weird
like
thing
it.
They've got is because the question mark's kind of a bit weird, but he's only weird and like comes from Mongrovia and he does karate, but he's not supernatural weird. They haven't got one of that them characters at the moment. So.
It could be a good stepping stone to do like just the 10 episodes with them, and then he could then, you know, could go from there to AEW potentially. Just if there was a need to break it up, which I don't know if there is or not, but I'd like to have, you know, I think it'd be an interesting fit in NWA, even if just for one of the seasons.
So I said it'd be good if he came back for that past versus present Ring of Honor show, and then maybe and impacted in a similar show. So they're doing everything's going to be TNA, and it's going to be a show in April. So we could just do like little bits before he makes his way over to AEW. I think it'd be fun just to get a bit of nostalgia back in before he just...
Yeah, well, the thing is, in that situation, I suppose this would be really interesting, is Paul London's making a special appearance. So those two don't like each other. So Matt Hardy against Paul London would be interesting in the ROH ring. But yeah, obviously from like the TNA perspective... That should be really cool. Hopefully we're able to see that. I suppose if he made his way around those kind of companies and stuff, especially when he's just become a free agent, he's going to be wanted. So we'll see what happens. But I think in terms of the Exalted One, the way they're building this storyline is this is going to be announced soon. So if he isn't the Exalted One and he doesn't jump onto the AEW ship, then it might sail for him.
This is Shreddy Breck, a.k.a. Mr. Clangin' and Bangin', and you are listening to Broken But Glorious, because this ain't no gimmick, it's a lifestyle.
Right, so it's time for a question of sports entertainment. I'm Question Master this week, and this is a question I've been saving for when it's Mark versus Oliver, so I hope you enjoy this question. So,
as long as I win, I will.
You probably will, mate.
I'll warrant Mark. I'm terrible at these things.
You know.
You like it.
You still watch wrestling.
Just about.
Yeah.
Right, so, But you'll like it, I think. So I want you to name playable characters who appeared in both No Mercy and SmackDown Here Comes the Pain video games.
Shit.
Oh, right. So this question's for Mark then, isn't it, really? Because if Grapple Arcade can't answer this...
Right, I see.
I was thinking he's going to give me a Ring of Honor thing, and if I can't answer that, I'll give up the ROH review, but no. Yeah, here we go.
Oliver, do you want to go first?
Not really. In No Mercy and in SmackDown, which one?
Here Comes the Pain.
Here Comes the Pain. Can you give me like the year Here Comes the Pain come out?
2003.
So they're on a game in 2000 and 2003. Rikishi.
Yes. Mark?
There's plenty, don't get me wrong. I'm just trying to work out.
I think there's 25, I think.
Christian.
Yes.
The Rock.
Yes.
Edge.
Yes.
Mick Foley.
Yes.
Chris Jericho.
Yes.
Eddie Guerrero.
Yep.
Billy Gunn.
No.
What's the score?
Of course he wasn't. No.
It's 4-3.
4-3, and this is my last one of five.
It's your last go. Yes.
Oh, jeez, on the tip of my tongue then. Oh, you bugger.
Massive names you haven't said.
Yeah. Shawn Michaels.
Yes.
Kane.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
I beat the Grapple Arcade.
Did. What was Billy Gunn not in? Was he not in Here Comes the Pain? I'm sure he was in No Mercy.
I thought he was. I had to go back and check that. So. All right, so you could have had Albert, Bubba Ray Dudley, Chris Benoit, Devon Dudley, Kurt Angle, Lita, Matt Hardy, Stephanie McMahon, Stevie or Steven Richards, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Test, The Good Father Stroke, Godfather, Undertaker, Triple H, Trish Stratus, Val Venus or Vince McMahon. So after the first round, Oliver's winning 5-4.
Well done, Oliver.
It's not over yet, Mark. Right. I'm gonna lose.
You've got a good chance to get a couple right in the next round, but it's not going to be as easy as that round. So, but
yeah, I've thrown it away there, like.
In inverted commas, easy.
This is Joey Fabulous, and you're listening to Broken But Glorious, and that is fabulous.
So, AW Revolution, John Moxley became the new El Champion in a great main event. So, what are your thoughts on Mox winning the title?
No, I've got no idea. I don't even know. I honestly couldn't comment. I couldn't comment. Does he still wear a vest? Does he still wear a white vest?
He's been wearing it. He wears black jeans and an eye patch.
Does he? To anybody listening, that's no offense to AEW. I just haven't watched any wrestling in the last couple of months, so I've got no idea what's going on. Would he potentially have a better interview with Stone Cold Steve Austin if he was interviewed by him now?
Yes, he's in a lot better place mentally.
I was going to say, that's what I was meaning. Can you tell by watching him on screen that he...
He looks so happy. Yeah.
Good. Good. That's good to know. Good to hear. Glad to hear that.
Great thing about he hit his eye in kayfabe, but even in Japan he was wearing his eye patch, and at conventions he was wearing his eye patch, and out in public he wears his eye patch.
it's a tough one in terms of, you know, whether I want him to be a champion and stuff. I think, like, Le Champion Chris Jericho has been amazing. He is to AEW what Adam Cole is to NXT, what the Foundation, Jonathan Gresham, and the franchise of ROH, Jay Lethal, are to Ring of Honor, as in, don't ever take the titles off these people. But obviously, this is what's happened. Like you said...
Would it change your mind if you knew that he's going on tour with Fozzy after the next pay-per-view?
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Then he's got to lose the title, hasn't he?
So it'd be a bit too predictable if he lost it the next pay-per-view. So if he loses it now, then has the remix match the next pay-per-view, then he can get in a pissy and go off in payfields, I think. So.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of that beforehand. So, I think Moxie's, the steam is being placed behind Moxie, isn't it, really, in New Japan and in AEW. And like you said, Mark's comments there. He's happy. He's healthy. I think my only concern was to win a match when you've got one good eye. Well, I guess they've done that anyway. Obviously in kayfabe. He's having a great wrestling run, which is what he's deserved after the time he's put in being deathmatch wrestler in like CZW and stuff, and then the Shield in WWE. He's earned this AEW championship, definitely.
I really want to see now that you've told me this, I want to see Jericho damage his other eye so he can't see at all, win the title, wear the belt whilst he's on stage on tour.
Have a blindfold match, Mark. I'm sure that'd be right up your alley.
Yeah, the match was very entertaining, and there was a great story around the eye as it finally climaxed, because he took the eye patch off to reveal that it's better, and then kicked him in the stomach and DDT'd him. So I don't know what he calls his finishing move in AEW, but yeah, he did that.
The Death Rider.
He did the Death Rider and won the title. I was so happy. It's such a great moment.
Does he still do the thing where he bounces off the middle rope?
No.
Good. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Kyle O'Reilly does that now, does he?
Does he? Wonderful. I was never a fan of that.
No, just
a little bounce. Once now and again. But, three times in a match, every match, it got a bit. So I'm glad he's happy and he's doing what he wants to do, and he's maybe dropping some of the bullshit, if you know what I mean. Oh, sorry, I've sworn. You've got my first show back and I've already sworn, lads.
That was always going to happen, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know that's what you're getting.
That's why we like you being around, Mark. You make our podcast rated R.
PG-13.
Or PG-13, yeah.
Also on the show, MJF defeated Cody and his massive neck tattoo. God.
Is that real?
You must have seen his... Yes.
No. It looks like somebody's just chucked a massive slice of red-hot prosciutto pizza at him and it's stuck on his neck. And it's just like...
It doesn't look like drawn very well either. The stars aren't... Like,
that's right. It can't be real.
Uniform. It is. They put photos and videos up of him getting it done. And
that can be faked. Nah.
That Andy Rose T-shirt we've seen. Excuse me.
No. It looks ridiculous. I don't. Yeah. It looks ridiculous. It's a terrible tattoo. And I'm not for or against tattoos. I'm quite, I'm impartial. If something looks good, then fair play. But it looks terrible.
I think it's just a placement of it more than anything. It'll make a good like over the pec tattoo.
You could have a reasonably decent neck tattoo. You could have something. There's nothing wrong with having a tattoo on your neck. You could have had something if that's what you want to do. But that particular style of tattoo on his neck, it looks ridiculous. Especially if it was something where like he'd had a big sleeve tattoo and it was going all the way up his arm and over his shoulder and up onto his neck, you can kind of understand, but just a massive tattoo of of America. I don't even know what it's meant to be.
The Nightmare Family logo, isn't it? So.
It's just terrible. Anyway, so yeah, I've had more input about that than anything else, so sorry.
I thought this was a really good match, even though it was slightly overbooked, but I did think it was missing something. It wasn't as heated as I thought. Heated enough to be the end of the feud match. That makes the payoff. Right. That's what I'm trying to figure the word. The payoff to the feud.
I don't think it's the end of the feud. Not by a long shot.
Are you surprised that MJF won?
I think he has to win to keep it going, doesn't he? If Cody wins, he's banished him, hasn't he?
Yeah.
So to speak. So.
It just seems in WWE, I think Cody would have won because of the build up, the way he had to go through.
But, did MJF throw a drink over a fan?
Yes.
Yeah.
a fan was shouting at him, and he grabbed another fan's drink and threw it in the guy's face. Another guy's face.
He is the best heel in professional wrestling, though, isn't he?
He is amazing.
Yeah.
I think we just have to move on to this tag team match. Champions.
Yep.
And Man Page. Kenny Omega versus the Young Bucks. I'm going to swear now, fucking phenomenal. I think this is hands down my match of the year. But Oliver, you wanted to take the lead on this. So I'll let
This is the kind of professional wrestling match I dream about. Makes you proud to be a fan. Makes me, want to just get the pen and paper out and write about this match. Because it makes me proud to be a writer. Makes me proud to be a podcaster because we're talking about it and sharing it with the world. Quite simply, this is the best tag team match I think I've seen in all of my fandom. And I'm not putting it lightly. If you are privy to the Bullet Club Elite storyline that's been kind of put in place for years, or you just got on and watched this match as a standalone match, it's still one of the most incredible things you'll ever see. If you've been able to take in all the story from Bullet Club to Elite to Hangman Page, being more arrogant and stuff, it's absolutely incredible. And the match, if you want emotion, it had emotion. If you want fantastic wrestling, it had fantastic wrestling. If you want heated rivalry, it had that. If you want, wrestlers going all out, it had that. If you wanted it to be quite nip and tuck in who would win this match, it had that. This is... entered my top three matches of all time, just behind Kushida Okada versus Kenny Omega's 2 out of 3 fall match from New Japan Dominion 2018. It's just underneath that, I think. This is it seems like it's cliche and stuff, but tag team wrestling 101. This is the tag team wrestling blueprint going forward. If you're a tag team wrestler and you don't watch this match to learn off, then you shouldn't be a tag team wrestler. It is quite simply, Chris has got it as the match of the year. It's going to be up there as match of the year. And I just want to say at this point, because I'm not sure how much more I'll say about AEW Revolution, but we worked with Fight TV this past weekend to give away a code, free code, so Nicola could win it on our Twitter page, and we were able to watch on Fight TV, which we're incredibly grateful for, and I was so happy to watch this match this afternoon. Just amazing, worth the price of admission. And like I said, we're working with Fight TV, we're able to watch it, and we're so grateful for that. Just amazing, amazing match.
Yeah, I thought the Bucks fell into the default heel role really well, but it wasn't because they wanted to be bad. It was purely out of desperation because they wanted to win the title so bad. And
exactly.
And they were angry of Hangman for being so off with the Elite recently and his drinking. And I think they played into the Kenny, was it not being the weak link, but he kind of showed the injuries from the Iron Man match he had last week. So they preyed on that. So it was just yeah. I don't know. We can just wax lyrical about it all day.
But that's my word, Chris.
Is it?
we can put that on a t-shirt and my face underneath.
But yeah, go watch this match. I will.
Go and watch it on Fight TV, Mark. We've got the app for a reason.
I will indeed.
Yeah.
All right, so I don't think we've got time to go too in-depth on these matches, but Darby Allin versus Sammy Guevara, another great match.
Yeah.
It said it was only 5 minutes, but it wasn't only 5 minutes. It was 5 minutes when the bell rang, but they fought outside for about 7 minutes.
Yeah.
So, but just it, from the off, just went, got in the ring, flew outside, like Tope Suicida, straight into Sammy Guevara, and then... And the Pac Orange Cassidy match were both wildly entertaining, both completely different from anything else on the show, and it's worth seeking out. And
I heard that Excalibur makes reference to the Shakara character as well, saying like he's a fire ant or something like that. He makes sort of
I didn't realize he was fire ant until that. So I looked it up. So.
Trippy.
Is that Orange Cassidy?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun stuff.
No, just quickly with the Sammy Guevara Darby Allin match. This should have started the show. Against Dustin Rhodes against Jake Hager. That had its place on the card, but in terms of pumping up the crowd were molten after Darby Allin versus Sammy Guevara. And he's a different kind of wrestler, but and obviously he's the first Sammy Guevara, but he is a young Eddie Guerrero. He's so good, and he's going to be, you know, a major star in the 20s and the 30s as well, 2020, 2030. Yeah, watch out for him. He's incredible. And Darby Allin is obviously the first Darby Allin, but the second coming of Jeff Hardy. Fans love him, and he's such a risk taker. He's, amazing.
You see the match announced for tomorrow, the Darby Allin and Moxley versus Jericho and Sammy Guevara.
That's amazing. And just quickly with Orange Cassidy as well, he's the most popular guy in professional wrestling. And I don't know if he's going to touch on this as well, Chris, but the return of like the double cage roof on top. Blood and Guts for the 25th of March.
It's War Games, but we can't call it War Games.
Yeah, pretty much. And that's got to be the inner circle against AEW, hasn't it?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
But I'm liking that it's not a pay-per-view. That's just going to be a special episode of Dynamite, isn't it? So that's the impression I've got from it.
Oh, I thought it was a pay-per-view.
No, I think it's just going to be an episode of Dynamite, just like a special.
Oh, okay. So like Ash at the Beach kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll definitely recommend Pac versus Orange Cassidy as well. It's just two polar opposites meshing. And when he was doing the little kicks at the beginning, and then Pac was doing it back to him, and then he just ripped into bits for ages. But then Orange Cassidy woke up halfway through the match and just showed what his fans knew for ages, where everybody's going, oh, he's so lazy, he's so crap. Well, I don't get this character. They knew what Orange Cassidy was all about by the end of this match. I'm sure he made so many more fans, the people who haven't followed his career.
See, the interesting thing with that is Jordan Grace said on Twitter, in terms of what percentage has he shown of Orange Cassidy, she said it's 10%. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot more to come.
Oh yeah, I would recommend looking up his match with David Starr from Beyond Wrestling. That's me and Joel's go-to match. If you want to watch a match at the moment, we'll just go back and watch that. It's on their YouTube channel. It is brilliant.
Yo, what's going on? It's your boy,
Big Wavy Roy Johnson here. Don't be a waste, man. Check out Broken But Glorious, the podcast. Cheers!
So it's time for the final round of Question of Sports Entertainment. So, yeah.
Can't wait.
I didn't mean to do an evil laugh.
Yeah.
You did.
All right, so with Matt Hardy leaving WWE and we had Saudi Blood Money last week, I thought I'll come up with a question that kind of loosely combines both events.
Okay.
So, Mark, you're going to go first on this one. So I want you to name wrestlers who competed in the 50-man Greatest Royal Rumble who are no longer active members of the WWE Stroke NXT roster.
What?
Right. Oh, jeez. Honestly,
this is the best policy, Mark.
When was it? Like, I've got no idea.
That was the first one they ever did.
Sorry?
That was the first one they ever did.
Right, okay, so like we're talking
about two years ago.
2 years ago, right, let's think here. Fake Yokozuna.
I need a name.
Oh god. I've got no idea who that was. Let me try and put me thinking a cap on here. Give us a second, because this is like, oh, Jesus.
Give you 10 more seconds.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I can't think of anybody at the time. John Moxley, Dean Ambrose.
No.
No, of course he wasn't.
Okay, all the way.
God, my idea.
So this is from 2018.
Yeah, the one and only Greatest Royal Rumble they've ever done.
Yeah, I know, but I didn't watch it then and I haven't watched it now, so...
Yeah.
I'm just going to take a stab in the dark because he's just become a free agent. Matt Hardy?
Nope.
Oh, God. Honestly, right, who's gone? Who's about back then? Is it people who are like no longer active wrestlers or no longer associated with WWE?
They're no longer on the active roster.
Okay. I'm gonna have a punt at Mark Henry.
Yes.
Right, cool. I remember him being back then doing some random shit over in Saudi. I couldn't remember if he was in the Royal Rumble if he had a match.
No longer on the active roster. Jinder Mahal?
No.
Oh, come on.
He's still on the active roster.
Yeah, but is he on... Okay, that's... Yeah. He's on the roster, but is he on Raw and SmackDown? That's NXT. I don't know. I don't watch, so...
I'm trying to think of if there was any...
It's basically if they've been
released.
Released or fired. Oh, okay.
Right, hang on.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm really struggling here. Like, really struggling. Right. Who might have made a random appearance? I haven't got any clue with it. When it comes to any of the guys who are like, you know, any of the. Any Asian wrestlers basically who were taken sort of part, I've got no clue.
No Asian wrestlers took part.
Do you remember the fake Yokozuna?
Yeah, apart from him, because he's the Saudi prince asked for Yokozuna, so they got a sumo wrestler.
Great Khali.
Yes.
Great Khali.
Luke Harper?
Nope.
What?
This is solid. This is really difficult.
50 guys. Oh, man.
Who was about? Who's not right? Who's got rid of? I don't even know.
Go on, say your name. Nope.
Just trying to think of people who aren't with them anymore.
I haven't got the foggiest.
Just think of people who've just been, who they've got rid of or who aren't on the roster. That's the only way I can do it with this. Easier said than done. I'm trying to think of any news stories where they've said so-and-so's been released or so-and-so.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to... When Chris said active roster, it threw a curveball to me, making me think, oh, people injured and stuff. And
yeah.
I thought I had a chance, but...
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
I've got another one in my head, but I don't know if they were even around back by then or if they were released beforehand or not.
I'm going to take a punt at that fake Yokozuna. I don't know, but somebody around the same size. Akebono?
Nope.
Fair enough.
So for the win, Mark.
Oh, God.
Well, what's the score so far?
It's 5-4. It's 5. It's 6-5 to Mark.
Ha! All right. So I have got somebody in mind, but I don't even know if they've been released or not. But I've got a feeling that they might have been. I don't even know if they were in the Royal Rumble or not. For one.
Okay.
But it's the only name that's standing out in my head. Been released in the last year, maybe. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know if I'm right by this. Sin Cara.
Yes.
No fucking way.
Yes.
Jeez. Wow. Please.
Right. So with Sin Cara, so who was released? Was it like the proper original one or who was currently known as Sin Cara? I'm lost off with all that.
They've both been released.
They've both been released, right. Okay.
Yeah, original Sin Cara is now Mystico in AAA.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I don't know what.
Who was originally? Hinikyo?
Unico's been the Sin Cara for the last couple of years.
Yes, he's been released now. Most recently been.
Well, you could have had Hakeonu Sami. He was the sumo wrestler who kept. You got Victor and Connor from the Ascension. Hornswoggle. Kurt Angle.
I should have guessed Hornswoggle. Kurt Angle was in. Makes sense.
Goldust, yeah. Rhino, Ty Dillinger, Big Cass, or Chris Jericho.
Wow. So,
congratulations to Mark.
Well, yeah, all right. I don't know how I feel.
Told you'd win, Mark.
Sorry?
I told you you'd win. I'm terrible at these quizzes.
You beat me in a computer game quiz about wrestling. I can't live that one down, let's be honest. And I just happened to guess wrestlers who randomly aren't on television anymore.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It was a bit of luck with that one, I think, to be honest with you. Especially that last one. I remembered Great Khali. I remember him because, well, believe it or not, I did watch that event because we had it as a casino night. But
yeah.
I only really paid any attention to the names such as that because of the, you know, like Great Khali, for example. And now that you mentioned Hornswoggle, I remember that as well, but I couldn't. Even at the time. Well, there we go. Random. What a mental event that was.
Yeah, went back and watched it a couple of times, but it's weird how they didn't use any of the undercard in the Royal Rumble either. So it was just these 50 random people with all the big names who were in the undercards.
I want them to do it. I really want them to do, like, next time they go, I want them to do a 70-person Royal Rumble. And take over people like Axe and Smash and people like that, like, for a laugh. Like, just some dude up to look like John Tenter's Earthquake. They should go all out and just dress loads of people up and pretend that they're wrestlers who used to be there. Class man. Fake Big Boss.
Be like the old school British shows with fake Undertaker and Kane.
That's what it is, yeah. It's the holiday. It's the Butlins, basically. it's basically Butlins in the Middle East.
Although, to be fair, they want to pay for the old stars, don't they? So you get what you're given.
It's true. if they did a Butlins over there.
Asking, you shall receive.
Too right. Too right. Johnny Storm might get like a call-up or something like that. Like,
oh, no. Johnny Storm wouldn't be associated with this, I don't think.
Nah, not for that page.
fake Undertaker and fake Kane. That's what we need.
Undertaker and Kane with a C-A-I-N.
Exactly.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Mad Dog, Mike Angus from TNT Extreme Wrestling. Make sure to listen out for Broken But Glorious podcast. Rock on!
Right, so Super Showdown was last week. Don't worry, we're not reviewing it. But I thought it'd be interesting to discuss the use of the legends in WWE currently. So for context, that's Super Showdown. The Undertaker beat AJ Styles with one pretty poor-looking chokeslam. Ricochet got no offense in against Brock Lesnar in a 90-second match. And Goldberg beat The Fiend with a pretty awful-looking jackhammer after four spears and pretty much no offense from The Fiend as well. So,
way to bury your current roster.
I mean, it's something I haven't seen. Shock. But I think from what I can gather from things, it's difficult to kind of give an opinion of how I feel about something when I haven't watched it, I haven't watched the build-up, I haven't watched the fallout. But on the outside of things, I've got absolutely no problem with Goldberg beating The Fiend. I really don't. I think that could lend itself to something quite fun with The Fiend going forward. I don't think he's the kind of character that can't be destroyed because he can just get more and more evil and more intense. Like he can just super power up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he immediately got up straight after the jackhammer.
Yeah, he can laugh it off and then just sort of like, you know, like pull one of his own eyes out and then gain the strength of 10 more bears. You know what it is? Like, he can do what he wants. He's like, he's a supernatural crank, you know. And then Goldberg,
I've ever heard.
Just builds towards Mania because he's going to be doing something there. So ball him out for Mania to do something. What's he going to be doing at Mania? Has it been announced?
He's facing Roman Reigns.
Oh, well, there you go. You know, it's fair enough. Fair enough. I've got no problem with that, and it puts another big star on TV. You can't hurt The Fiend, in my opinion, unless you turn him into a comedy act, and they're not doing that. They'll just make him stronger by it, because, you know, he'll do whatever he wants.
Yeah, the theory seems to be that Goldberg won the title is so Reigns will get a good reaction when he wins the title of Mania, because due to the population of The Fiend, they think Reigns will get booed at the end of Mania again.
Are people booing Goldberg? Like,
yes,
since
they booed him on SmackDown last week.
Is he playing a heel or is he like stuck in limbo?
Yeah.
No, then just turn him. Just turn him now. Make him a twat, and then let Reigns get the cheers. Like, yeah, I'm fine with that. Like, personally, take a beat in Styles. Don't see the point personally with that one.
It was just that. Just how bad it was, just with one chokeslam. Like,
yeah, just silly, really. Is he doing something specific at Mania?
I think they're against each other. I think it was meant to build their match, but he can beat him with one chokeslam, so what's the point of another match? So, yeah, but people are saying, oh, he was in a gauntlet. He came out fifth in the gauntlet. Battered R-Truth, who'd just been through three people.
Mm-hmm.
R-Truth was battered. He got battered by every person. And just flukily won every match.
Right.
And then AJ Styles came in, danced around him, kicked him a couple of times, and put him in the calf crusher. So he wasn't in a match. He wasn't knackered, and then the Undertaker came out.
Right.
The Undertaker came out, chokeslammed him, didn't even bother taking his hat and coat off.
And has there been any kind of suitable explanations for that yet? Or is it just like terrible booking? It sounds
unless something happened on Raw last night, I haven't seen Raw yet. So.
No, it sounds poor, doesn't it?
Mm.
I've got no problem with Lesnar smashing Ricochet. He definitely should. Like, he should smash anybody who is that size. He should. And then
I would just give him make it 4 minutes long, but have Ricochet at least try. Instead of just getting suplex, 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 like five. Or make him kick out one F5.
I quite like the idea of Lesnar. If Lesnar's going to be there as a champion, I want to see him just crush everybody until somebody bigger comes on and beats him. It's the only thing that makes any sense, especially with everything he's done for the last 3 years. It's just been that. So to try and steer away from it now, it seems that... I don't know. I don't think Ricochet is the one to take the mantle, you know.
I would have had Brock win the match. I just would have made it a bit more competitive.
Yeah. I don't know.
So I
didn't watch it.
Would have been the backlash on any of these matches if they were a bit more competitive. Just that the legends just battered the new guys, the current roster, in every match.
It is interesting, though. We're speaking about this, and it was only yesterday that WWE have announced that Mania might even get cancelled yet because of coronavirus.
Yeah.
So it's it might all be a waste of time anyway.
But Oliver, has the use of these legends effectively burying the current roster increased your excitement in WrestleMania in any way?
Or the coronavirus, for that matter. You were more excited about WrestleMania or the coronavirus?
But
did you say that with a straight face, Chris? Because we can't see. This isn't video recorded.
That's what WWE must be doing it for, to increase your excitement for WrestleMania. So that's
I can't wait to see Goldberg as a heel, because I loved it when he was a heel in WCW in 2000. Sarcasm. Hopefully you can pick that up. It didn't work then. I think if he came out, like, I'm sure somebody said this, you've said it, but somebody else said it. If he comes out and he's full on arsehole heel, I think it'd be amazing. And then obviously Reigns beats him. That's the only thing. Like, Reigns has been quite close to winning all the Rumbles that he's been in, and he's been in the main events of 4 out of 5 WrestleManias or something like that. I can't remember off the top of my head. They're not helping Reigns. They did a great job like rebuilding him and stuff, but if he keeps being in the biggest shows, in the best spots and stuff, it's not going to help him. But if he runs through Goldberg, he'll be cheered. So that'd be pretty cool. Styles versus Undertaker, I was okay to watch that until you just said he's beaten with one chokeslam whilst not taking off any of his attire. Ricochet was in like a mini feud with Brock Lesnar, and then obviously in the Rumble and stuff, he was part of, you know, almost getting rid of him and stuff, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
So he could have got in some offense against Brock Lesnar, and he just hasn't. But, you know, that might be Lesnar working, you know, Beast in the East, the NXT show, yep. Was it? And Lesnar took out New Day, all three of them, in one go. So if Lesnar's motivated, he has a great match against Styles, Balor, Daniel Bryan. If he's not, then he can New Day you. So, and then with Lesnar against Drew McIntyre, that's going to be amazing. So, yeah, you had to get to that.
I'll be okay with this Saudi booking if AJ beats Taker, Drew beats Brock, and then The Fiend beats Cena at Mania.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, like I said, if you keep giving the past stars, you know, if you keep burying the new stars, look what happened in WCW. The Jerichos, the Guerreros.
You can't just keep wheeling these 50-year-olds out. You're going to have to stop. What are you going to do in 10 years when you've got new stars, because you keep burying the current crowd? So.
Well, then you send, you know, the fake Kane and the fake Undertaker, because they'll desperately be needed. use it, I guess, like Nick said last week, he's not part of the show tonight, that WrestleMania ticket sales have stalled, so they've got to do something to kind of jump that. And the thing that professional wrestling has always done is gone to stars regardless of age or all of that kind of thing and put them in prominent positions. And then it's about executing, you know, the newer guys or the stars that are just under these stars, giving them huge wins on a card like WrestleMania. And if, like you said, Drew McIntyre wins, which I'm sure he will, well, you don't know, do you? Until the last second. But that is his moment. And obviously with coronavirus and stuff, it might get cancelled altogether. But that's his moment. For Styles, if he got beaten here, he shouldn't be losing against The Undertaker, because he needs to win more. And obviously Undertaker's only doing sporadic appearances. So you want the Styles win as well. And Bray Wyatt struggled for the longest time after losing in the feud to John Cena, didn't he? So he has to, as the Fiend, beat John Cena. And if all those things happen at WrestleMania, if the event goes ahead, then I don't think there'll be an issue. It will be an issue again if the the legends of WWE come back and take out the stars of the current rosters. That will be the talking point on the post-Mania review if that happens. But surely they've put these kind of this situation in place to allow for a bigger payoff at WrestleMania.
Hi everyone, it's Oliver Newman here, three-time pro wrestling author. And for myself, if you want to support me and my work, you can buy my books, A Fan's Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling, where I focus on the British wrestling scene, my book on WWE in 2016, A Fan's Perspective, 2016, What a Year to Be a Fan of WWE, and my book on WrestleMania 24, A Fan's Perspective, How My Lifelong Dream Became a Nightmare. You can buy them on Amazon in paperback and Kindle, Kindle Instantaneous and Kindle Unlimited for free. Or if you would like a signed copy, you can get in contact with me on Big Cartel, fansperspective.bigcartel.com. Thank you very much.
All right, so if you listen to our interview with Jason Rhodes last week, you'll hear that he's given us 4 tickets for his debut show, Retro Wave Wrestling, Three Idiots of the Time Machine, at the Talk in Norwich on the 15th of March. So to win the ticket, you just go to our Twitter, retweet our pinned tweet, and follow us on Twitter. And yeah, the link will be in the description. We have plenty of interviews coming up in the next couple of weeks. This week, you'll have my final interview from backstage at Fleet Sleep Rage Repeat with Troy McCarthy. Oliver, what have you got coming up on the ROH review?
Yeah, like I said at the beginning, we have the ROH review reviewing Bound by Honor and Gateway to Honor from this past weekend, which will be going out in audio format tomorrow night and video format on Thursday. To go along with that, we are releasing an interview this weekend, Saturday. I'm not sure about that, but this weekend. And I was honoured and delighted to be joined by one-time pure wrestling champion, the second longest in the history so far, apart from the reinstatement. One of my top 3 ROH wrestlers of all time, so not Paul London, not CM Punk, but the Hurricane John Walters. That interview is coming out this weekend to promote Past versus Present next weekend. And Stephen will be flying solo on the ROH review next week with Chris recording in the background. And we have the preview of ROH's 18th year anniversary and the aforementioned Past versus Present as well coming next Wednesday, I believe.
Cool. And have we got any news on Grapple Arcade, Mark?
Do indeed. Yeah, I've got a couple of events coming up. So we will be running Wrighton Retro 5, which is a video games event in the northeast of England, arcades and pinball machines and whatnot. It's a very special one this year, though, because it's going to be WrestleFest. That's the name of the actual event. So Wrighton Retro 5, WrestleFest. Oh, cool. So the vast majority of games on display will be all wrestling-related games. So that's on Saturday, April the 4th, which is the day before Mania. So it's going to be a fun weekend, and that's exactly why we're making it a wrestling-themed gaming event. But lots of really, really cool, fun things planned for that one, including another WrestleFest Games tournament, in which we'll be giving the winner a big fun prize pot, tickets to other events around the country as well as part of that prize pot and whatnot. That's that. I can't wait for that one. Obviously, we'll be running WrestleMania pay-per-view parties around the country as well, providing that it's on this year. So on Sunday, April the 5th. If you get onto Hooked On Wrestling on Facebook, you can find a lot more about where the events are going to be held up and around the country. I think we're planning to run potentially even 4, possibly even 5 venues in London alone this year.
Oh, wow.
Which it's there's a lot of uptake. I can't even remember how many. I wish I could pretend to guess how many cities we're running. But I think we're in the mid-teens at the moment as to how many we're going to be running. So I know for a fact that the Newcastle one, we've already sold, I believe, over 100 tickets so far, with still another over a month to go. So that's ridiculous. I can't wait for it. Really cannot wait at all. And I just thought I'd drop this little last one in here. It's not Grapple Arcade related, but we're going to be speaking to these guys very soon to have a bit of a chat about chat with them to see what they're doing. But basically, for anybody who is into their retro wrestling and their conventions and whatnot, there's a simultaneous convention happening at the same time as Full Up of Wrestling in the UK, which is obviously on the 18th and 19th. There's a one in the US called Wrestling Con 3, which is happening on the 18th, and it's got a fantastic array of stars who are going to be there. I'm obviously mentioning this for our American listeners because I know that we have got quite a few of which. But the likes of Honky Tonky Man, Zeus, Lex Luger, Jim Duggan, Rock and Roll Express, Dutch Mantel, Larry Zbysko, Sam Houston, Ted Arcady, Dr. D, David Schultz, Sean Mooney. So many wrestlers are going to be there, which is music to my ears because I love anything like that. Even people that we've mentioned tonight in the sense of the Ascension, they're going to be there. Dean Malenko is going to be there. Terry Runnels is going to be there. Blue Meanie, Crowbar from WCW fame. Mario Mancini, who was a jobber for WWF back in the 80s as well. there's going to be a great bunch of people there. So any of our friends in the US who aren't able to make it over for the incredible For the Love of Wrestling event, don't worry, because on the same weekend there's something happening in the US as well that you can go to for equal amounts of fun. But yeah, I thought I'd mention that one because it sounds like a bloody fun event.
Just because what Mark just said there, I've actually interviewed the aforementioned star, Crowbar, there for the ROH review, and didn't like scratch the surface of his career to the point where we need to get him on the main podcast there, BGW Pod. So,
indeed. Yeah,
definitely need to follow up with that. That's bloody, he's a really cool guy and obviously had an amazing career.
Watch this space for that, then, definitely.
Indeed.
So we also have a partnership with powerslam.tv where you can use our promo code BROKENFREE to get a month's free access. Again, find the details in our description. And if you enjoy our show, follow us on Twitter, BBGWPod, and check out our website, bbgwrestling.com. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.